It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With all the recent headlines coming out of the Department of Environmental Protection in Harrisburg recently, former Pennsylvania DEP Secretary David Hess says the Commonwealth is not focused on the real issue, how to restore Pennsylvania as a leader in environmental preservation. He's laid out 10 opportunities for leadership in a post on his blog and joins us by phone from Harrisburg with his perspective. David Hess, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Glad to be with you.
And we'd like to hear from you with your ideas of how Pennsylvania can do a better job of protecting the environment and reassert itself as an environmental leader. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. Again, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. David Hess, what are the real issues and concerns for Pennsylvanians when it comes to the environment?
Well, I think I outlined 10, but I think a number of the very important ones are obviously meeting our clean water obligations. You know, Pennsylvania has 19,000 miles of polluted streams and rivers. They're polluted by abandoned mines, coal mines. They're polluted by farm runoff and stormwater runoff. And we've seen a steady decline in state funding for those programs over the last 13 years. And, you know, if Pennsylvania wanted to be a real leader, there needs to be some credible proposals for dealing with those obligations, including cleaning up the Pennsylvania portion of the Chesapeake Bay watershed. You know, we've seen a couple of those. Representative Sterla today introduced a water use fee bill. Representative Garth Everett introduced a resolution to study that same issue. Both their proposals are designed to begin a conversation, and certainly I welcome them. But clean water is something that really has not been addressed well over the last 13 years or so.
How drastically has the DEP's budget been cut?
Well, you're looking at the general fund budget, which is the basic, you know, bread and butter of the department, paying personnel costs, paying light bill, those sorts of things. You know, since 2002-03, the general fund budget has been cut by more than 40%, and DEP has lost over 20% of its staff positions. So, you know, if DEP was a private industry, that would mean significant changes in the number of products. It turns out the product lines, but DEP has had no reduction in the obligations it has for protecting the environment. In fact, they've been added to, and yet we've had a 20% cut in positions over the last 13 years. That situation is just unacceptable.
So who's doing the math here? I mean, is anybody presenting to the legislature or whoever's making these decisions as far as the DEP's budget goes, that that the DEP simply cannot meet its obligations without better funding?
Well, the interesting thing is, since really the beginning of the Rendell administration, successive secretaries, starting with Secretary McGinty, Secretary Hanger, Secretary Bruzzo, and most recently, of course, Secretary Quigley, have all warned that DEP's been cut to the bones. Environmental groups have warned that they're being cut to the bone. Federal agencies have reviewed key DEP programs like air quality, drinking water, surface mining, other water quality programs, and all said they are running dangerously under-resourced and are on the verge of not meeting minimum standards. So people have been warning about this consistently, but those warnings have been largely ignored.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest for this segment is former Pennsylvania DEP Secretary David Hess, and he has some ideas on how leadership can be improved when it comes to protecting the environment in Pennsylvania. We'd also like to hear your ideas. time permitting, at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 to join our conversation with David Hess. When it comes to the Chapter 78 regulations, industry representatives say the regulations would be unnecessary and expensive. Environmental groups are, of course, pushing for greater restrictions. So how do you balance the interests of these two groups? Even legislators who are environmentally friendly, I'm sure, are getting pressure from within their districts when it comes to protecting these industries or doing what they can to advocate for the industries because they create jobs. So how do you balance that? How should the DEP secretary balance those interests in drawing up rules and regulations?
Well, I think first the conventional industry took a much different tact on these regulations than the Marcellus Shale industry. The Marcellus Shale Advisory Committee never recommended that the regulations be killed. They had a laundry list of changes that they wanted to see made to the regulations. The conventional industry, however, that's been around a long, long time, basically just wanted to say no. These regulations aren't necessary. And as John Wallizer from the Pennsylvania Environmental Council pointed out in one of your questions, the Act does apply to both the conventional and Marcellus industries. If certainly Secretary Quigley, I think, tried to balance those interests. Did he make some good calls and bad calls? Sure. No secretary is perfect. But right now, the only choice the General Assembly has is to kill the entire package that covers both conventional and the Marcellus industry. And I don't think that is good for anybody. So I think there can be some changes that might be able to be worked out. It was mentioned that there's some changes recommended to the Environmental Quality Board. Perhaps it would have been smart for Secretary Quigley to take some of those changes. We're at the point in the process where it's very difficult for some of these sides to back down. So we'll have to see if there's some discussions on how to do that.
And at the end of the day, clearly there are people who feel that the email that got him fired was not appropriate. But are you able to identify with his frustrations in terms of this whole Chapter 78 situation has, and as you pointed out, the positions on both sides are very well entrenched. But this has become a very bitter fight, and Secretary Quigley was clearly frustrated at the way things are going and how the legislature is handling things. Is his frustration understandable? And if so, what is a different approach that needs to be taken or a different tact here?
Well, I think Secretary Quigley's frustration, I think, was understandable. The way he chose to express that frustration probably was not the best. The secretary has to be an advocate for the department's programs, for the department's positions when he or she deals with industry or with environmental groups or whoever. That's been true of every single secretary I worked with since the Thornburg administration. They were always an advocate for the agency's position. I think if you try and bring some reasonable people together to talk about this, who have a real interest in, one, updating the regulations, because clearly they need to be updated for both conventional and unconventional, I think you could probably get some things accomplished. But again, what the point we're at now is it is late in the process. People have hardened their positions, and it's difficult to sort of back away at that process at that point, but it might be worth a try.
I want to get back to your suggestions for how Pennsylvania can become an environmental leader again. We certainly don't have time. We have a few minutes left, but not enough time probably to go through all 10 necessarily. But what are some highlights there that you would point to and say, this is what Pennsylvania can do to more effectively deal with protecting the environment?
Well, I think there are a couple things related to the coal industry itself. They're going through some horrendous disjointedness at this point in the coal market. And that has led, for example, to some proposals that would, unfortunately, make it easier for coal operators to walk away. But the point is, the coal industry is going through some very fundamental changes. We need to make sure that our environmental protection programs keep up with those changes, and that we don't burden the taxpayers with reclaiming mined lands that are halfway done mining. With respect to underground coal mining, there was a report that was put out under a specific state law last year, Act 54 report. The department has had that report for a year. The primary finding was that 40% of the streams undermined by deep coal mining show adverse impacts. That clearly, I think, under anybody's rule book, even the industry, obviously, is unsatisfactory. And we've got to address those issues. So I think there are a number of different things out there that are cutting edge that we need to deal with right now. But instead, in some ways, we're spending a lot of time, on this, what I call a soap opera of, who did what to whom on the drilling regs or any number of different issues.
We're down to about 30 seconds or so, but one of the concerns here in Pittsburgh is with regard to air quality, though Pittsburgh has drastically improved since the days when people referred to this place as hell with a lid off. Pittsburgh's air is still rated as one of the worst air quality cities in America. What can be done to improve that?
Well, I think a number of things. Back when Governor Ridge and Governor Schweiker came in, they put together some stakeholder groups, industry, citizens groups, local officials, to talk about solutions. Nobody is against clean air. The question is, how do you get there? And that issue of using stakeholders in a way that assures everybody's opinion is heard has really gone by the wayside. And I think that could be used for both now controlling methane emissions that have a climate impact, both ozone pollution because of the new federal ozone standard. Those kinds of approaches have seemed to gone into the ditch the last decade
or so. Mr. Secretary,
I need to jump in, Mr. Secretary.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, David Hess, former DEP Secretary. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.